Well, this morning, Lord willing, we're going to wrap up our series called One Another. And I really believe that this series is important and timely for the church. We've been learning to treat each other the way that the Word of God commands us to. Each week, though, we've been focusing on doing what the Word says. And this message is no different. We want to hear the Word of God, but we also want to live it out in our lives and do it, because the Bible itself says that when we do what the Word says, then we're going to be blessed. And we want God to bless us. Sometimes we just need to realize what's lacking sometimes and why we're not experiencing a blessing in certain areas of our life. It may be that we have failed to fully obey the Word and do what it says. And so I want to encourage you that in that this morning. The message this morning is to be affectionate with one another with brotherly love. Romans 12:10, be kindly affectionate to one another with brotherly love. There was a closeness in the early church that I think for the most part is missing in the church in America today. This is something that we need. We need to be more affectionate with one another. Now, I know some of you guys, your wives have told you you need to be more affectionate many times, and that's not what we're talking about here, okay? That's a totally different subject. I'm talking about our relationships with our brothers and sisters in Christ, how we relate to each other. We need to be more affectionate with one another. And I think that this is actually a really important message for us to hear in becoming a church that treats one another the way that the Scripture says to. How can we love one another on a daily basis? I mean, is it simply that we just, you know, is it just we have to treat one another. It's the way we talk to one another. It's the way we interact with one another. That's how we can do that. But, you know, when it comes to really living that out in our life on a daily basis, sometimes I think we struggle to know how we can show that. Here's one of the ways we can, is that we're affectionate to one another in brotherly love. Affectionate means that you freely express your fondness for someone in your words or your actions. Now, I know there are many who don't freely express their affection even with their family. And, you know, this command may be a, do you notice I called it a command? I believe it is a command. Be kindly affectionate to one another in brotherly love. This command may be a real challenge. It may really stretch you. And some of you, you may be struggling with, you know, what I'm saying already. And I just want to say to you that if you will obey this command, it will not only be a blessing to you, some of you, it's going to be a blessing to your family. When you learn and step out there and become more affectionate, more open with expressing your fondness and your love for others. But in the body of Christ, we need this. You see, you know, we all know about the love of God. You know, the love of God, that agape, it's what it is called in the original Greek text, that agape, that love of God, that God so loved the world. It is a sacrificial, giving love. It's unconditional. And that is the love that we're supposed to have for one another. As Jesus said, love one another as I have loved you. And that's that agape God kind of love. And then he tells us that we're to even have that kind of love for our enemies. But this is a different kind of love that's mentioned here. It's translated as brotherly love. This is the kind of love, it is that affection that you have for family and close friends. In fact, the Greek word is one that's maybe not too unfamiliar to us. It is Philadelphia. Now, when I was a kid, Philadelphia never made me think of love. It made me think of the team that I love to hate. You know what I'm saying? I'm a big Cowboy fan then, but I want you to understand that this is a different kind of love. There's that agape love that we even have to love our enemies with. But this is the love that you have for family and close friends. And the scripture tells us, not just once, but many times, that we are also supposed to have this brotherly love, family kind of love for one another. Brothers and sisters in Christ. And we need this kind of love in the body of Christ. Now, the message last week was about being kind to one another. In our key verse today, it says that we be kindly affectionate to one another with brotherly love. It's kind affection with brotherly love. That's how we're supposed to treat our brothers and sisters in Christ. You know, in the New Testament, you see this over and over, that fellow believers are referred to as brothers or sisters. And we might think that that's just old-fashioned, you know, that's just tradition. But it seems that the church today has lost that sense of real family. You see, they called each other brothers and sisters because they recognized that they really were a spiritual family. And most people today say, oh, we don't call people that. That's old school. That's not necessary. I think it is. Yes. And I do it not because I'm old. Come on. I know, you know, there's a lot of things people think I do because I'm old, because, you know, people used to do. Listen, I do it because it's in the scripture. I do it because it's the way the scripture talks about these relationships. We are supposed to be family, and we need to love one another, not only with that love of God, but with brotherly love also. Some of the other modern translations put Romans 12:10 just a little different. The NIV says, be devoted to one another in brotherly love. You know, when you're devoted to your wife, that means that you love her, that you are loyal, that you are faithful to her. And that's what it's talking about here, is that, you see, we're supposed to be devoted to one another. We're loyal, we're faithful, and we love one another. When the scripture says, be kindly affectionate to one another, it's telling us to show the affection, to show our love that we would to family or close friends. That's what it's talking about here. And we need to get this. See, why brotherly love? Because we're family. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 14 and 15, the Apostle Paul wrote, I bow my knees to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, from whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named. All of the body of Christ, we are family. We all have the same Father. We're all born of the same Spirit, washed in the same blood, serve the same Lord. We're family. Amen. Born of the same Spirit. See, we're all family, and we need to know that. We need to understand that. It's not just old-fashioned. It's scriptural that we have this mindset and this attitude. But you see it all through the New Testament. Well, the Apostle Paul uses phrases like brother or sister, or terms like that. He says those kinds of things. He talks about Timothy as his son in the faith. John writes to his dear children. You see, this isn't something that's just for 40, 50 years ago. This is something that we all need to understand, that in the body of Christ, we really are family. In Matthew 12, 46 through 50, it says, while he, Jesus, was still talking to the multitudes, behold, his mother, brothers, stood outside seeking to speak with him. Then one said to him, look, your mother and brothers are standing outside seeking to speak with you. But he answered and said to the one who told him, who is my mother and who are my brothers? And he stretched out his hand toward the disciples and said, here are my mother and my brothers. For whoever does the will of my Father in heaven is my brother and sister and mother. Jesus was not saying that natural family is not important. That's not at all what he was saying. In fact, you see through the rest of Scripture that that was important. But he was saying that this spiritual family, it's actually even more important. That went over really good. I didn't write it. I didn't say it. Jesus said it. Here are my mother and brother and sisters, these who do the will of God, hear the will of God and do it. We got to get this. It said blood is thicker than water. Yes, the blood of Jesus is the most important thing. You see, that blood of Jesus being born of the Spirit, we got the same Father. These are spiritual truths that bind us together for all eternity. Not just for a little while, for all eternity. We're family. It's interesting when he talks about the family of God, he actually mentions in heaven and on earth. You see, even in heaven, we're still going to be family. That's the way it is. We need to understand that there's a special bond between believers. We pray together. We stand together. We fight for one another. Through all kinds of battles and struggles, and we go through illnesses, we the loss of a loved one, sometimes somebody goes through a divorce, or somebody lost their job, somebody's struggling with a teenager. All kinds of things, you see, but we stand together and we go through these things together. We rejoice with those who rejoice and weep with those who weep. Because we're family. This is the way that it's supposed to be in the body of Christ. And I'm telling you, it is a deception of the enemy. It is an attack of Satan against the church to get people to let go of this family. See, to lose the concept, the attitude that we are family. We are loving, loyal, and faithful to one another. Be affectionate to one another in brotherly love. I think it was easier for the early church to grasp this because they were under so much persecution and they oftentimes were kind of a despised minority. And so they stuck together. They knew we're brothers and sisters. The world hates us. We're sticking together. We're brothers and sisters. And here in America, in many ways, we have it so easy. We're not a persecuted minority. And we take for granted our brothers and sisters. You know, there are some countries in the world where they're less than 1% Christian. And if you lived in one of those countries, when you come across other Christians, all of the sudden, oh, you're my brother. You're my sister. Oh, I'm so glad to meet you. I'm so glad we can sit and talk about the Lord and we can pray for one another. But here in the States, we take that for granted. It's like, doesn't mean anything. Y'all really quiet right now. I'm trying to get you to see that this is really important, this bond of family that we have with one another. Don't take it for granted. You know, the people that we cross paths with here at church, you need to remember they're your brothers and sisters. They're your fellow soldiers. They're the ones that will stand with you through the battle. Now, I want to say there's no way that you can be close to everybody, but you should be close to some, and you should regard everybody as family. You know, when it comes to showing affection to one another, I think for the most part, the church as a whole isn't much different from the world around us, but we should be. And right now, especially, you know, the world is so divided. There's so much anger. There's so much animosity in this world. But when people come to church, they ought to feel loved. They ought to feel accepted. They ought to feel like they belong. They ought to feel like family. We're supposed to be different from the world. And this is one of the ways that we do that, that we not only love one another with the love of God, but we love one another with brotherly love. We don't say things that hurt and divide. Instead, we build up. We restore and heal. And no matter what happens, we stick together as family. You know, if this world is to know that we're His disciples by our love for one another, let me tell you something, then they need to see it. How's the world going to see our love for one another? How are they going to know? Well, certainly we could do some great act of kindness or serving. Something that we could, you know, do, some big thing we could do. And once in a while, we have the opportunity to do something like that. But what about the everyday, the day-to-day? I want to tell you, it is when we are affectionate with one another, when we care, we show, yeah, this is important, that we show we care, the world gets to see that. You see, we not only are blessed, our brothers and sisters are blessed, and it is a testimony to the world that our faith is real and genuine and life-changing as they see how we love one another. See, they need to see it. Jesus said, they'll know you're my disciples by your love for one another, but they got to see it. And I'm going to tell you the truth. Most of them will say they don't see it. So I'm telling you that if we do this, if we show one another brotherly love, treat each other this way, it's life-changing, church-changing, and it can even be world-changing to the people around us. It absolutely amazes me that there are many Christians who will not even speak to certain other Christians. Carmen and I had this experience about 20 years ago where we would walk down the hall and there were certain people who were supposed to be spiritual leaders in the church, and when past them, I would speak to them and they wouldn't even look at me. They would just stare down the hall and keep walking. You know what the world thinks about that? Hypocrite. And that's what they say about us all too often. Now, I know that sometimes they're just calling us a hypocrite to try to ease their own conscience. But too much of the time, this has been true about the church, that there are people who think that it's okay to have animosity and hatred for a brother in their heart. We can't act like that. And the world needs to see that we love one another. We need to make it real and genuine. Oh, well, I love everybody. I don't have to show them. Oh, my goodness. You know, that doesn't work with your wife and your kids, and it doesn't work with the Lord. He expects us to praise Him, to worship Him, to express our love to Him, our adoration to Him. You know, some people have that attitude about worship. Well, God knows in my heart. I don't have to say anything. I don't have to do anything. He knows. Well, read the Bible, because He expects you to express it in worship. And when it comes to our love for one another, we have to show it. It can't just be talk. And when it comes to brotherly love, it's pretty simple, that we just need to show that we care. We need to have that affection for one another, and it needs to be expressed. People come to church. Do they feel loved? It's so important. How do they know that we love them? We got to show it. We got to express it. When I was a teenager, it was kind of a mess. At 17 years old, an older lady led me to the Lord. She said I was an easy catch. I mean, she said, the Lord loves you. And I prayed the prayer with her. But she asked me to go to church with her, and she went to a big church in town, and I went, and I saw probably 60 teenagers there that I went to school with in my high school. A lot of kids that I knew. None of them spoke to me. I wasn't offended. That's the way they were at school. So it didn't bother me. I didn't expect anything different. I didn't know any different. But the service was boring. I didn't really get anything out of it. And I didn't really want to or feel like I needed to go back again. And so I didn't go to church for about 6 months. Sound kind of familiar to what we see a lot in our culture today? And then one day, there was a girl I just barely met one time. I met her one time, and I saw her in the hall at school. She says, I want you to come to my church. And she acted like she really wanted me to come. So I was like, okay. And so I go to this church, and it was the weirdest thing. Everybody there smiled at me. Everybody was nice to me. They acted like they were so glad that I came. They were excited to see me. And then that week, people called me and said, hey, you're coming back, aren't you? And when I went back, they acted like they were so glad that I was there. People hugged me. I started going Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, went to fellowships and prayer meetings. You know what happened to me? I totally sold out, turned my life over to God. I got filled with the Spirit, called into ministry, and I have been serving the Lord with a whole heart ever since. And now I'm strong enough, if I don't get some love and knowing that people care, you know what? I'm going to keep on serving Jesus. I'm going to keep on trucking. But how much better it is. How wonderful it is when you know that some people love you and care about you. But here's the thing. How many people in this world, they're trying to do it on their own. They're trying to make it on their own spiritually. And you see, when they come here, they need to know that we love them. They need to know that we care about them, that we want them here, that it matters to us. Amen. A lot of churches are trying to get people to come. It's kind of like, who's got the best show? This one's got the best music, the best technology. Their pastor's funny. I don't want any part of that. I want to tell you what really matters and what really works. See, it's not about, well, I don't have to go to church. That's not how I want people to come. Well, I guess I have to go. That's not what we're going for. Here's what we're going for. They want to be here. And I want to tell you, people want to be around other people where they are loved and cared for and really feel like these people really do love me. They're my family. They're my church family. They want to be here. Read an article about how that 60-somethings, you know, people like me, 20% of them say, I used to go to church, but I don't go anymore. And then it said that 50% of millennials say, I used to go to church, but I don't go anymore. I honestly believe that if we get this principle, we live this out, that it will change those statistics. That if we will make this a place where people feel loved, they truly feel cared about, they have relationships that are like family. You know what? People want to be in that environment. People want to be around those kind of people. Amen. That's the way church is supposed to be. Now, One of the simplest ways that we can live this out and show our love for one another every day is simply in the way that we greet one another. I think it's important that this we make this simple enough that there's something that we can do, and this is very simple. We can do this every day, just in the way that we greet one another. Now, the next verse I'm going to talk about, it has to be prefaced with this, that when this was written, it was written to people with a totally different culture than ours. And so we're looking at the spirit of the law, not the letter of the law. So don't get nervous when we read it. We're not looking at the letter of the law. We're looking at the spirit of the law. In other words, what is the principle behind it that we need to live out? And here it is. It's Romans 16, 16. Greet one another with a holy kiss. Don't do it right now. In fact, don't do it. But you see, in the letter of the law, this is a cultural concept. There are some cultures where they still do this. And not because it's a Christian culture either. I mean, there are some cultures in the world where they greet each other, they kiss each other on both cheeks, and sometimes they even hate each other, but it's just a formality. It's the way that they greet one another. In our culture, here in Texas, well, that'll just get you punched. You know what I'm saying? That's not really appropriate in our culture. But we don't throw away the principle here. In fact, this statement is actually in the New Testament four times. Greet one another with a holy kiss. What is the principle here? That we should greet one another warmly. Now, to put it in terms that in our culture we understand, the Living Bible, I'm going to find it here. I want to say it right. It's in here. Well, Lord, have mercy. Pastor Mark, stumbling around, bumbling around. Y'all love me anyway, right? The Living Bible, instead of saying greet each other with a holy kiss, it says with a warm handshake. There you go. Now, I want to tell you, you see, that works. Sometimes you can greet one another with a hug. Sometimes a warm handshake. Sometimes, I think especially somebody maybe you just met, you don't run up and grab them and give them a big hug. By the way, let me just get this in here. Don't hug somebody that doesn't want to be hugged. It's not about that. But sometimes we just met somebody, I think a little bit of formality is okay. It's okay just to smile and to be glad to see them, you know, be nice and greet them warmly, but you don't even have to necessarily shake hands sometimes. But here's the thing, we need to understand that there's a spiritual principle here that we need to live out. Why does he say greet each other with a holy kiss? Because they need to be glad. They need to be affectionate when they see each other. We're glad you're here. We're glad to see you. This is actually really important. He says it four times. The spirit of the law, not the letter. I remember when I went to Bible college, the very first day, you know, we're all moving into our dorms and getting settled, and there's just kind of this excitement in the air, kind of a spiritual excitement in the air. And so a bunch of us are out on the lawn, and we started talking, and we sang some worship songs, and we shared testimonies, and we prayed together. It was really a neat thing. And then this one guy, he says, I think we should all just greet each other with the holy kiss. I want you to know that guy killed that prayer meeting. I mean, it was over. Everybody was like, I got to go. Because the letter kills, but the spirit gives life. And so there really is something to this, and we need to find a way to show people that we care, even when we greet them. Not just formality. You know, one of the things we do a lot of times, we say, how are you doing? And we don't really want to know. I read about one pastor, he was walking through the foyer just speaking to people as he went by, and he says to one young man, he says, how are you doing? And he just kept going. And another man came over and grabbed him, and he said, pastor, you don't realize what you just did. He said, you asked that young man how he was doing, and he started telling you that his brother was in a car wreck this morning, and you just walked off. Well, the pastor, of course, went back and tried to make amends, but my point to you is simply this, that our greeting to one another ought to be more than just mere formality. It ought to be sincere about us caring for one another, letting each other know that we care about them, that we love each other. I like it when somebody is glad to see me, don't you? I mean, when I get home, I like it that my pretty wife is waiting at the door for me. And if she's not there, well, the dog's there, right? They're always glad to see you. I mean, I like it when I'm at a restaurant and somebody I know sees me and they act like they're glad to see me. I like that, don't you? Yeah, we all do. How much more should it be that way at church? If we go, we feel like they're glad that I'm there. That's my family. And you see, the only way that happens is, see, some of you might be thinking, well, yeah, why isn't the church more like that? Yeah, why aren't you? We're all the church. And you see, too much of the time, we're thinking somebody else needs to do that. No, we all need to do it. That's the way this works. You know, we live in a world that can just be hard. It feels good to have brothers and sisters that care about you and are glad to see you. Now, we all know that God loves us, but you know what? It's nice sometimes to get a hug from Jesus. Probably the only way you're going to get a hug from Jesus is from a brother or sister. You see, sometimes we need Jesus with skin on. You need a hug from Jesus? I'll tell you, a brother or sister can give you a hug from Jesus. Be kindly affectionate in brotherly love. There's a word of caution here. I just want to make this clear. You need to use discretion, especially with the opposite sex. You need to be careful about how you show affection and even in your greeting to others. One time we had a well-meaning brother. He was one of those people that's super friendly and gregarious and never met a stranger. And so sometimes he would stand near the door, and as people came into the church, he would say to some of the ladies, he would say, hello, beautiful. And he didn't mean anything by it. He's just kind of that personality. But there was one lady that had visited about three times. And this particular Sunday, her husband came with her. He was walking in the door behind her. And I was actually close by and saw this happen. And the brother said, hello, beautiful. And I saw that husband's face. And I knew they would never be back. And they weren't. So, yeah. We need to be wise about this. You need to have some discretion and be careful, especially in regard to the opposite sex. But we need to do it. We just got to do it right. From a pure heart, that we care about each other, we love each other. And it makes a difference whether or not they come back. You know, we can always just start with a smile. It's amazing how just smiling at somebody can make them feel like you're glad to see them, right? But go out of your way to let people know you care about them. And to do that, sometimes you may have to get rid of some old attitudes. You may say, I've been this way all my life. Well, it's about time you change. and God can help you. Some people, you know, they got a lot of issues with hurts from the past and things that have happened, even in church, things that have happened. Let the Lord heal those hurts. Turn those things over to God. It's time for you to move on and be a loving person, reaching out to other people. And maybe for a lot of us, especially, you know, if you're an introvert, I mean, it may be uncomfortable. It may be difficult. Do it anyway. Overcome. The Lord can help you. But you see, we all need this. We all need to feel like we're loved. We all need to feel like we're family. One last verse I want to give you this morning before we close. 1 Peter 1:22, he says, "Since you have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit, in sincere love of the brethren, love one another fervently with a pure heart." Let's make up our mind to live this scripture out and obey the word of the Lord today. Brothers and sisters, let's do what the word says. Stand with me. We're going to pray. I want our prayer partners to come.